were just as capable and as enthusiastic as Harold is. Kids who enjoy sports and music and playing with their friends at school. But sometimes it is frustrating for them because kids who can see feel sorry for them or stare at them or make them uncomfortable. One reason people may act this way is that they just can't imagine what it's like to have poor vision or no vision at all. Now, we can't really know what it's like to be in another person's place, but we can try to imagine it. And here tonight to help us do that is Susan Porter. Susan works at the Children's Museum in Boston. Now, some of you may have seen an exhibit there called What If You Couldn't? It tried to show you what life might be like if you couldn't talk or if you couldn't walk or see. Susan and some other people at the museum worked a long time to put that together, and there are some exercises that they use to help kids imagine what it might be like. And now I'd like for you to meet Susan. Susan, tell me how the project came about.
Well, originally we had an exhibit about 2 years ago at the museum called What If I Couldn't? And it was intended to answer some of kids' questions about handicaps. We thought the kids had a lot of curiosity and that they needed to have their questions answered. So we decided to put together an exhibit and have a lot of things on the exhibit that kids could try out.
And what's the response to the exhibit then?
It was tremendous.
Really?
It was really very satisfying for us.
And now tonight, we're going to be in your class, and I'm sort of going to turn things over to you, and you're going to help us and go through some of those exercises and
mm-hmm.
give us some idea what it's like. Are you guys ready?
No.
Oh, yes. John.
No, not really.
You're teasing me. Okay, what is the first thing we're going to do?
Okay, the things we're going to talk about primarily tonight have to do with visual impairment, with people who have difficulty seeing.
All right, like Harold, who we just saw. Now tell me what
this is a picture. It's not an accurate representation of what someone with partial sight sees, but it is intended to give you some idea of what it might be like to have difficulty seeing. What I'd like you kids to do is look at this picture and see if you can figure out what is pictured here.
Now, can you tell?
Could I come to that?
Bruce, you with a ball.
All right. Aaron says it's a guy playing with a ball. Bruce, what were you going to say?
Looks like somebody on a bike.
But it's hard to see. Janine, do you have trouble making out what's happening there?
Yeah.
And this is generally what it's like for someone who has low vision. Okay, come.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it up close?
Yeah. It's very blurry.
It is?
Okay. That's not the way I see it.
That's not the way you see. Well, you can tell us how you see things in just a few minutes, okay?
It's very complicated.
Well, maybe we can try to understand it. All right, so this is the blurred vision. Now, this is the same picture. Clear. This is the way most of us would see it.
And Aaron, you were right. It's someone throwing a ball.
I thought they were like in a playground. Uh-huh.
It was hard to see the background, especially.
I know, it really is. Okay, now you have some other things for vision impaired.
Uh-huh. One very useful thing for people who have low vision is large print. Some of you may have seen in your school libraries or in the public library large print books.
Okay, we have two examples here. Now, the first one, the smaller one that you're looking at, is normal size print?
This is from the New York Times. This is a crossword puzzle, and this is the regular print. This is the large print from the large print New York Times. And you can see, if you can compare the two, how much larger this is and how much easier it would be to do if you had difficulty seeing.
All right. Now, Lisa, I know that you were saying when you came up here that that's not the way you see. Now, are you able to use large print?
I don't use large print because I have reading glasses,
mm-hmm.
and I can read regular print, and it doesn't look like large print. Large print is darker than regular print, but it's clearer and it's bigger.
So with your glasses, you're able to use the regular print.
Right. I'm not wearing the reading glasses.
Not right now.
I only read with my left eye.
All right. Very good. Okay, and the next thing we have, and I didn't know this existed, and I think a lot of people will be very excited about this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
does anybody
recognize?
What is it?
The map of the subway train.
Very well.
All right.
This is a Braille subway map. It's the local Boston MBTA system, and it's railed with the names of the stations and then the lines. You can run your finger along, and you can tell which station is which by a dot along the line.
Sure. Okay, excuse me, folks, while Clarence feels it. All right.
John can read the station.
All right. We're going to have a test here. John's going to try to read the station.
Oh,
shit.
How can he read?
Well, because you don't know Braille, do you?
Yeah.
All right. Aaron, pass this back to John. Let's see if he can read some of the stations.
Well, let's see here. Just what I figured. This does not... Let me get this right. It just says... Like, you have a dot, and it says, like, green light, stop number one, and they just have, like, G1, G2, G3. And right up here, it says MBTA system tactile map, and there's a T. You can see the T right over here.
All right.
And then across here, it says, we're getting there.
John, have you ever used the maps in the MBTA?
Yeah, I go in the MBTA quite a bit.
Clarence, can you get that? Pass it back to us.
And for mobility, I used to walk down there and... get oriented to the station.
Okay, Lisa, you're nodding. What are you nodding about over there?
I'm nodding about mobility. She used to drill me up to the station, and then have you look at the map and memorize the stations on the orange line or the red line or whatever.
She'll get bored and say, I'll forget it.
I can't imagine that it could be boring. I think it would be quite a challenge.
Not when you do it every Wednesday or every day.
I used to do it every Friday.
Well, I don't know.
Outstanding.
It's a lot to learn. It takes quite a while. Did it take you a long time to learn Braille, John, or was it fairly easy?
Yeah, it was fairly easy.
Were you born blind?
More or less. I was born with a disease that later in my life made me blind.
I'll tell you what, we're going to a little bit later really talk about some things that we'd all like to know, but let's save that because I'm interested in knowing what Susan has to teach us. Right, now you're going to do a demonstration for us.
Okay, I'd just like to demonstrate one simple thing that we do with kids to give them some idea of what it might be like to be without sight. And one thing we want to let kids know about is the most effective way, the best way to walk with a blind person. If you happen to be, if you happen to know someone who's blind and that person asks for your help, then there are some things you can know about how to give some help. So.
Okay, now one thing, while Susan is doing this, I want John and Lisa to be really quiet and not give any secrets away because this is a lesson for the rest of us. Got it?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a blindfold on and stand up, and then I'm going to ask someone to come and help me. And what I want the rest of you to do is to watch that person and give that person suggestions about helping me, okay?
What?
All I want to do is to walk from here to where Bruce is. And I want to have you figure out what is the best way to help me with that. Okay, so I'll put the blindfold on and stand up.
All right, now remember what I said, Lisa, John. No kibitzing. All right?
Maybe.
Okay, Aaron, why don't you come forward? And if you're going to help me get from here to the other side where Bruce is, what do you think would be the best thing to do?
Well, straight forward about 3 steps.
Okay, so
like regular steps, like if you would just walk.
Do you think that it would be best if you told me what to do and described how to do it? So if you tell me to walk 3 steps, I'm a little bit nervous because I don't know how big to take the steps.
Just take like your regular would.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other ideas?
All right, so Aaron would just describe where you were going to. All right, Janine, what would you do?
Maybe hold her hand.
Well, why don't you get up and let's see you do that.
Okay, that works pretty well, but I have a little bit of the feeling that I'm being pushed, that I'm not sure what's in front of me, and I'm standing sort of in front of you, and I might bump into something.
Did you see, now, Janine, you didn't
describe
anything.
Like you're walking into something?
Uh-huh. Oh. Does anybody else have any other ideas, other than holding my hand?
Have the person hold on to your shoulder?
Hold on to my shoulder. Let's try that and see how that works.
All right, Bruce, come. Why don't you?
No, you hold on to my shoulder.
Oh, on to your shoulder. Okay.
All right.
And walk like this. That's pretty close. Yeah, in fact, probably the best way to do this, let's move back, Bruce, to the back here. Probably the best way is for me to walk with you, holding your arm, with you a little bit ahead of me, holding your arm right above the elbow, and that way I can feel where you're moving, and if you're going to turn, I'll know which way you turn by the way I feel you turn, and it's much easier for me to do it that way.
Now, is that the usual way a person who's blind gets around with that kind of help?
No, in fact, probably that's only for special occasions, for going to some place that's very unfamiliar to a person. Many people who are blind use, as you might expect, and as you've seen in the street probably, Canes. And that's something else that we have here.
Okay.
To show you and talk a little bit about. You've all seen white canes. People using canes in the street? Is that right?
Oh.
You broke one?
No. Yeah, I used to have them when I was smashed up waiting for the bus.
How did that happen?
I just had my cane a little further than it should have been, and the bus came off the close to the curb and rolled over the cane, and that was it.
Is that a common kind of accident?
Well, if you're not in the mood to do what the cane techniques it's telling you to do, then I suppose it'll happen. But usually the bus driver's usually a couple of feet away from the curb. This time he was just about on top of the curb.
Oh dear.
Jenna, it sounds like you should be the one to tell us about the cane.
I know, but let's have you do
what
it.
What I'm
going
to do is I just want to show you, you've probably seen this, so you've probably watched people using a cane. You see that they swing it back and forth in an arc in front of them. The arc is usually about 3 feet wide, and they can tell by the sound that the tip makes at the end. And John, if I'm not right about this, you correct me. But it's possible to tell what kind of surface you're on, so that you know if you're on the sidewalk, for example, you know that if you start to go off the sidewalk, you can hear that with the cane and also feel it as you walk along. So it's very useful. Does anybody want to try it and see?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's let Hagen try it first.
We haven't
start
had Hagen
over on
do anything.
Side. And why don't you close your eyes, Hagen, and just walk, maybe 3 steps. Let's see how. Going to tell you when you run into Bruce.
How does that feel, Hagen? I mean, do you have your eyes closed, of course?
Tell you.
Mm-hmm. A little bit nervous about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, come on back. What other way do you think people who are blind get around? There's a way that she hasn't mentioned.
With seeing eye dogs.
Seeing eye dogs. How about seeing
eye
dogs?
Yeah, I wish I could do that.
Uh-huh. Guide dogs are used primarily by adults. You have to be 18 years old in order to get a guide dog. Is that correct, John? I'll check you again.
They say between 16 and 18 is the best time because by then you're usually full grown, and they want the dog to be particularly full grown too. Because it has to be to a certain point on your leg, like above your knee or
right.
up to your waist or something.
They measure the dog, I think, from the shoulder to make sure that he's a certain height.
Right, and you have to be full grown and the dog is full grown.
John, while we're over there with you, I want you to show everyone a wonderful machine.
I can't stand it.
Yeah. Tell us what it's called.
It's called the Opticon. And it is made for blind people to read print. Just a second here.
And I think I have a book over here for you.
Oh, boy.
All right. Pass that over to it.
If you can't stand how small I'm reading, we'll just throw this out.
Now tell us what you're doing.
Okay, this here is the camera. Has two little lights, and it picks up the print, and it comes out with these little impulses on your finger. Now let's see if I can read this thing to with great ease.
Of course he's reading TV Guide.
Yeah, the worst thing to be reading.
Oh, I know.
Tapes.
Tapes?
Yeah. No, go ahead, stay with TV Guide. Okay.
Okay, now right now, whatever the camera's picking up with those lights are coming up on my finger as print.
Can you read it?
All right,
now that print is so small, John. Can you pick it up with that hand?
I can pick it up, but I can't really read it.
Okay.
Can
we
try it?
I'll tell you what. Janine, you can try.
They want to put their finger in here. And
I'll tell you what, we'll do it during the break. We have to have a commercial right now, but while they're doing that, we'll continue to do this, okay? We are going to take a break right now, but we will be back in just a minute. You're going to be meeting a very unusual young lady. Please stay with us, and Susan, thank you. We'll be right back.